Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Today, Snapchat is not just for the youngsters anymore. We're going to figure it out right here on this show.
And as long as you got old people acting young, let's play some Minecraft. What do you say?
We should. And what if you could vote for iOS for president?
I'm on it now on iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Automatic, the connected car company that improves your driving and integrates your car into your digital life. For more information, visit automatic.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT to get 20% off your purchase. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device. Visit gazelle.com today. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/iOS today. iOS Today time. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte. This is the day that Snapchat becomes... This is the day where we olds invade Snapchat.
And most teenagers, they then say, this is the day Snapchat is over,
right.
Is dead to
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Once we start talking about it, they're packing up their bags, moving their snaps elsewhere.
Snapchat is a phenomenon. And everybody agrees it is one of the most valuable companies out there, right up there with Twitter. Not quite Facebook material, but certainly WhatsApp material. So it's a multi-billion, maybe $15 or $16 billion company, maybe more. Mm-hmm. But it's the kids use it. Now, I think it's gone a long way from the days when people said, oh, that's just for sexting.
Right, yeah.
The whole idea of Snapchat is originally you send text. Now you can send pictures and video and do all sorts of fun things. But nothing lives longer than 24 hours. Mm-hmm. It all expires. And the smart folks say that's why the kids like it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that kids are onto something. Because I don't know that we need to be keeping all these photos and videos, keeping them forever, like curating our life. Like, I do think it's a good idea for a lot of stuff to disappear.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because, of course, we're a little older than the Snapchat generation. Even you, who are a lot younger than me. A lot of the time, the dialogue among adults is, well, do you get it? How do you use it? Mm-hmm. And I asked my son, who's a big Snapchat user, he's 21, I said, how do you use it? I said, there's no manual. How did you figure out how to use it? It was just obvious. I said, no, really, Henry. Was it, well, people show you. And I realized that one of the things that is a secret of success among young people is something that's a little hard to figure out, but that they can share with their peers. Mm-hmm. Like there's this kind of whole body of, oh, you know, did you ever see, if you do that, you can do this. And they know, and but they make sure that they don't tell any adults how to use it, which I think is great. So today we're going to show you, as best as we, with our limited capabilities, can figure out how to use Snapchat.
And we got a lot of this from our children, too.
Yeah. Not me. Henry won't. He literally won't show me, won't follow me, won't let me follow him. He says, I don't want anything to do with you because it's my place, right? I understand that.
Yeah. Well, my daughter's young. She still trusts me. And so she showed me a lot of this.
Big mistake.
So let's just start.
Okay.
It logged me out.
So. One of the things we should mention is that Snapchat will only let you use one device at a time.
Oh.
You're identified on Snapchat by your phone number. And that's also important because it's not completely anonymous. People find you if you're in their contact list. You know, I have Megan's phone number. So because she joined by phone number, I can then find her in Snapchat and add her. But if you don't know somebody's phone number, you can't add them. They have to actually, you know, give you the information for you to follow them. You can't just follow them by name, in other words.
Right. That's a really good tip because I kept wondering why I was signing in on my iPad and then it was logging me out and my iPhone.
Only one device at a time.
That's smart for the kids.
And that's because it's tied to the phone number.
Right. And your kids don't want you
going
logging
through
in on their account.
iPad. Yeah.
Exactly. So shall we take a look at what this, the general screen just looks like this. Presumably you've seen this. We've shown this before on the show.
Now, this is why it's kind of opaque, okay? Because there is no, like, okay, swipe left, swipe right, none of that stuff.
Right.
You just have to figure it out. I remember when you first sign up, it still doesn't tell you any of that.
No,
you have to figure it out.
Right? So, so if I want to take a picture.
Pretty simple. Anybody can figure that out. Wow, that is a terrible picture.
Really, any young person would tell you, never go from up
but
in a selfie.
It doesn't matter.
You never want to see that.
Because tomorrow, it's gone forever.
Right, exactly.
And one of the things that we adults kind of, when we talk about Snapchat, and people like Sherry Turkle, who's pretending to be a kid, and stuff like that, is they say that children understand, younger people understand, the whole problem with the internet is that stuff never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And that things you do as a kid will follow you, will haunt you in some cases for the rest of your life. So they are thrilled to have a place where they can have, you know, they don't have to put on makeup and fix their hair. They don't have to make a big deal about it. They can just share something offhand with their friend and know that it's going to be gone. Now, kids know this, but a reminder, you can always save stuff with Snapchat. If you do a screen grab,
easily,
Snapchat will warn the sender, hey, they got a screen grab of it. So you might say, oh, well, at least I'll get a warning. But, you know, you can always take a picture of the image on your phone and no one will know that you've done that. So you would certainly want to tell this to kids, and you as an adult probably would want to know this. There isn't complete privacy on Snapchat. People can save the things that you send them on Snapchat, so don't send embarrassing images. And there's also been some concern about Snapchat itself on its servers preserving these images for a longer period of time than 24 hours and bad guys being able to access them. So Snapchat, just like everything else on the internet, you tell your kids, and you remember this for yourself, when you put it on the internet, there's no promise that it will stay private. So don't put anything on the internet that you wouldn't want your grandma to see.
Right. I mean, that is what I love about Snapchat, because it kind of exposes that idea. You know, I talk to a lot of parents who say, well, I don't let my kid on Snapchat because, you know, I don't have no idea what they're sending. And it's like, you have no idea what they're sending anyway. You know, you really know. You don't know. You have to just have conversations with your kids and trust your kids. And that's it. There's no technology that's ever going to, you know, there's no way, like, Instagram is better than Snapchat for that reason, or Facebook.
You have to have the conversation with your children.
So, yeah, exactly. And I like these features. Like, I replayed, you sent me a snap, and I replayed it, and my daughter said, you know he's going to get a notification that you replayed that. You know that, right?
Yes, I did. That's nice,
yeah,
though,
so
right?
So it's like, you know, that's how the kids, you know, they
know
this thing, because they, you know, if someone sends them something and they won't replay it unless they want the person to know that they have replayed
it. Look, if you want to understand why people use Snapchat, it's fun. And let me just show you real quickly. This is something that Snap... Oh, yeah, my Wall Street Journal. Hold on a second. I just want to know what the Google profits were. No, this is not fun. This is fun. So you're going to take a selfie. By the way, quick tip. Double tapping it turns the camera from back to front. That's a nice thing to know, okay? And then touch and hold your face, and that's when the fun begins. The face recognition that's built into Snapchat. You sent me this one.
I did.
Hey, I'm driving here. I'm driving. Is really fun, and they change these all the time.
And they used to be for sale for 99 cents, and you could keep it forever, but then they stopped that, so now they're all free.
Wasn't that interesting? And I think that the reason, we were talking about this on Twit on Sunday, why did they take away an opportunity for great monetization, right? If you really like this effect, you're going to want to keep it forever, aren't you? Hello, man. Now, by the way, this doesn't do anything until you press and hold. Hello.
Or you could just take a picture.
Megan, stop talking. I am a mole man. And then you can review it. Stop talking. I am a mole man. And then you can pester people with it. Now, there's two choices here. I can send it to Megan. In fact, I can send it to Megan, my wife, OMG Chad. I can send it to a bunch of people who I have in my Snapchat list. And or, I can, by the way, you can do both. I could say, I'll send it to you, Megan, but I will also add it to my story.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that is a relatively new addition to Snapchat. And a lot of people are taking advantage of. Baratunde Thurston and taught me about this. So I've now sent it out to Megan. So, Megan, you're going to get that little stupid video I sent.
Okay,
but
so here
putting it in my story also makes it public.
Right.
And people can follow me and watch my story.
Here, let's see it now.
We didn't see it enough.
You could just take a picture, Megan. Stop talking. I am a mole man.
All right.
And I am going to replay that and replay that.
Now, we were talking about why they stopped monetizing those. And the reason, the thinking is, at least Jason Calacanis said this, and I think this is the kind of widespread thinking, is they do sell this to brands.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I can't remember a recent example, but let's say there's a new TV show. And they will add features from that TV show to you, and you will send it to other people. The brand pays good money for that capability. So they didn't want the idea of people buying this to kind of interfere with that much bigger opportunity presented by brands spending $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 for one day to have people sending images of that TV show.
Yeah, it shows how, especially with this generation, they're not going to spend 99 cents, but they do not care about ads at all. I asked my daughter that, too.
She doesn't mind it.
I told her, and she was like, oh, that makes a lot more sense, because I don't care if I'm being advertised
to. And if you can do a Star Wars kind of character, and you're wielding a lightsaber, it's great. Mm-hmm. You don't mind that that's really an ad for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of part of the culture. So Snapchat's smart. I mean, they really have some good ways to monetize this.
Yes, they do.
Do you want to show more of its features now that you're an expert?
Well, we can show the story. It's not so great.
Let me show you my story, because I have a few. So first of all, when you you're on your Snapchat screen. This is really important. Remember that swipe left and swipe right does something, as with all apps now. Swipe left gives me my directory of people I know, okay? Mm-hmm. Swipe right gets to stories. Then there's two kinds of stories. There's, of course, stories from people I follow, like Baratunde. He uses this all the time.
It's set, but I made the kitchen bearable, usable, even edible, and check it out.
And it's a complete throwaway, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's some things I don't really understand. I think if you tap it, or tap that button, you can go to other places. Now, by the way, politicians have jumped on Snapchat. This is Hillary Clinton's My Story. And you can skip again to the next story if you want to jump through it real quickly. You can exit by pulling it down. This is really important because that's not obvious.
Yeah.
We were before the show saying, how do I stop? I want to stop. So that's how you stop it. You pull it down.
Anthony
you squeeze
has some
it down.
Things in his story, too.
Anthony, you posted some stuff of you. Anthony's our technical director today, and there's a view from Anthony's seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of fun. But you'll notice some other things. Notice these are paid placements. This is Iowa caucuses. Who is this?
Okay, so this is Peter Hamby, who was a veteran CNN reporter. He was at the 2008 and 2012 election. He also wrote a piece. He was like a Harvard fellow, and he wrote a piece about the boys on the bus, you know, those guys that travel around, and how Twitter basically has killed the boys on the bus.
Yeah, that inside story of the campaign.
Yes. Right. So now he is the news director at Snapchat. Like, that is his job. And he is covering the campaign.
So this is a new kind of news.
Yeah. So his first episode was called Good Luck America, which I thought the whole show was called Good Luck America. But apparently this one is just called the Iowa caucuses. But I watched this with my kids because this is the language they speak. You know, it's the same as, like, MTV.
It's kind of more soundbite journalism, isn't it? But it also is more intimate, and you kind of get a front row seat to what's going on. All of the candidates are covered, by the way, and we can skip through.
It is soundbite journalism, yes, but they're getting this anyway. I mean, once you give a child access to Snapchat, they have access to the Discover network. Like, they can see all those content, you know, things. They have access to all this. They're getting these messages constantly.
There's one more page. If you swipe right from stories, you're going to get to what's called the Discover page. These brands pay big bucks to be here. And there's a variety of content. We're told this is very successful, although I have seen people drop off. Katie Couric for a while was doing a daily newscast for Yahoo. That's gone. But you know what really makes sense for me is ESPN, because ESPN sports is all about highlights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what better way to show highlights? Notice, by the way, these are not horizontal. This is all vertical video, and people who don't like vertical video, get used to it. That's because of smartphones. That's what you're going to see. So this is an interesting thing because you can swipe up, and a lot of these Discovery channels let you do this, and actually read a full article or see more video. You can go deep, which I love, or you can swipe to the next story. And I really kind of think this for me is perfect for ESPN. Mm-hmm. This is kind of Sports Center for the next generation, because you get anything you want, but you also get the quick hit in a very palatable way.
It's a really great way to see highlights. I'm just kind of loving this. The other thing a lot of brands are realizing is this. Put text on the screen because not everybody has their sound up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're watching this in school or at work, you probably don't have the sound up. So it's really important to have text in there. You'll see this now on Facebook video, too, that the whole thing has changed now. Everybody's doing this. You know, you've got to have text to explain what people are seeing. I think this is great. For ESPN, I can't think of anything better. And but there's a whole bunch of brands on here, as you'll see.
And they've recently made deals with the NBA and the NFL. Snapchat has. They have geofilters. Like, you know what the geofilters...
It knows where you are.
Right, and it'll put over, you know, so...
This is kind of cracking me up, because this is the Wall Street Journal completely not getting the point of Snapchat.
Well, we'll just put articles in there, and there'll be some more articles, and then we'll have a picture, and we'll have some more articles, and then we'll... Oh, by the way, you're going to see ads in here, too. That's the other thing that Stories brings you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there were quite a few ads that newscast that we saw from the Iowa caucuses.
Did you want to talk about the filters? We didn't really cover filters.
Let's do more filtering, baby, because filters are everything, right?
Okay, so to get a filter, you can swipe. So there's
you're looking
regular
at different,
filters.
Different, this
and
is
then
for
it's
stills,
the zero
right?
miles per hour. Did you get that one I sent you yesterday where I was running around? You can put the temperature.
I actually loved your Snapchat yesterday.
You could put the time. Here is one of the geo filters. So it knew that I was in Petaluma. It put that
So it did that automatically.
Yeah. If you want to do two filters, you have to hold and swipe. You can hold and swipe and do two at a... Oh, did you not see Anthony? He's a millennial, and he didn't know that. I learned that from a 12-year-old.
And filters work in video, too,
which
is kind of cool. You can add, you know, filters to motion. Please do not snap and drive. How fast were you going when you snapped?
Oh, so do you know that little snail? Do you know what that snail is?
No.
It'll slow down your... Well, you take the video. Did you take a video? And then it'll speed it up.
That's the double rabbit. Oh, here's backwards. Isn't this inspired? Don't you think this is... Now, I love Snapchat, and I have to say it's great. I just wish this stuff would last longer. You can, by the way, save videos and pictures to your camera roll, so you don't have to lose something that's really awesome.
And you also can't add things to Snapchat. Like, you can't take a picture and then add it to Snapchat.
You can, actually.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So if you're in your...
Let's get a young person in to explain.
Here's a young person on the
scene. Add it to your story, but if you're in your, like, let's say your photo library, when you share, there should be a Snapchat sharing option, and you could send that to someone.
Oh, you can through Snapchat.
No, it's like, so if you're in your...
It's part of the sharing, share button.
Got it.
A couple more things. There's some interesting buttons down here. This button adds something to your story. Adding a snap to your story allows everyone to view or snap an unlimited number of times for 24 hours. This is an unusual explanation of what's going on from Snapchat. You can change who can view your story in settings. Would you like to add this snap to your story? Add it and don't show it again means, I guess, forever. Whenever you press that button, you'll add it. So now I have a story that's consisting of this.
You want to own as much of the
This is from yesterday's
so you just
Twit,
keep
right?
growing, and then you can add it later. But it's fine to have...
Jason's actually talking
money
about
out
Snapchat
had, you can
here.
Put it back into the product, right?
Hey, I'm driving here. Get out of the way.
You're actually not driving.
I got no brakes.
So Snapchat...
Yes?
Is
I'm sorry, I just thought it was so funny.
Snapchat's created in L.A. And I feel like that says a lot about the difference between Silicon Valley. And the
Hollywood?
Deals that they're making. I mean, they're making a lot of deals and quickly, like with the NFL, with the geo filters. And I think that's part of their success. They're not like ingrained like Twitter is in this sort of Silicon Valley. We're going to do it this way, very slowly, and we don't really know what we're doing, but eventually it'll turn into something. I think Snapchat really... seems like they know what they're doing. They're making a lot of advertising deals, a lot of content deals, and it's big.
Jason gives a lot of credit to this guy, Evan Spiegel. He's one of the founders of Snapchat, and he kind of leads the strategic vision. He says Evan is unique. He's an iconoclast. He's not like others in Silicon Valley, and he has his own path. He also said that Evan probably doesn't want to sell Snapchat. You know, they very famously have turned down buy offers before. And he says the reason is, and this is kind of the new way of doing things at Silicon Valley, they are already rich enough. Snapchat is so highly valued, and the board is so willing to give Evan and his founders money you know, Evan can go to the board, he said, and say, give me $50 million. And they'll just give it to him that he doesn't need to sell. There's no impetus to sell. So they have the opportunity. And he pointed out, Jason pointed out, and he's a venture angel investor. He knows about this stuff, that in the Instagram era, a couple of years ago, there was the fear that if you didn't take that billion-dollar offer, you might miss it. Mm-hmm. Like, it might be over. Nowadays, they don't feel that way. They've got enough money. They're not going to hurt. And they have the ability and the willingness to go for the long haul. They're not worried about missing the opportunity. So people like Evan are going to ride it out. They're going to see what they can do. And, boy, a lot of credit. He's only 25 years old. I think he deserves a lot of credit for making something pretty amazing.
All right. You know, I think we might have talked all about
Have we done
Snapchat,
everything? Is there any secret that you know that you would like to share with us? Because we'd love to know about it.
Your Snapchat secrets, if you have them. You can email me at Megan@twit.tv, and maybe we'll mention them on the show next week. But, you know, now we should talk about Automattic. They're a sponsor of our show.
Oh, yeah. And this is a snap. A great way to learn about what's going on with your car. You know, we all talk about the quantified self. We're all wearing those fitness bands and things. This is kind of like a fitness band for your automobile. Turns out, ever since 1996, every car made has a port right below the steering wheel called the OBD2 port, onboard diagnostics port. That port is available, normally the mechanic uses it, but it's available to anyone anytime to plug in a device. This is the device. It's called the Automattic. It fits in. There's no installation. I mean, you just plug it in. That's it. And now you pair it to your phone. It talks to your phone via Bluetooth. And all of a sudden, a whole world opens up. With the Automattic adapter and app, you can see how much you're spending on gas. You could see what that light on the dashboard means. You could actually train your teenagers to drive well. Here is my recent Automattic ventures. You see, I got a score of 86 last week. That's not very good. In fact, you can even say, as a matter of fact, I had 10 hard brakes. I didn't go over 70 miles an hour, but I had 11 hard accelerations. My score places me in the bottom 34% of all Automattic users. That's terrible.
I got a 92.
Shut up. I can also see that I spent $12 on gas. I'm averaging 16.4 miles an gallon. By the way, that number comes from the place you've been gassing up. It knows where you've been getting gas. It knows what the gas price is. So that's a pretty accurate number. How many miles? How many times? How many hours behind the wheel? Yes, he had a better week last week, 78%, 74. I'm a pretty bad driver. This is great for a teenager, by the way. There's even software that works with teenagers to make them better drivers using the Automattic. You can also be tied to other devices. For instance, your Nest thermostat can turn on the heat or the AC when you get home. You can use If This Then That to create programs. I have an If This Then That script that allows me to ask my Amazon Echo how much gas is in the tank. Do I need to get a fill-up? I can find out thanks to Automattic. And should you have a crash, the Automattic will know and will alert the authorities with your location automatically. Now, this is awesome. It's a safety feature. It's knowledge. It helps you be a better driver. It helps you be more economical. And it's a very affordable, $99. The app is free. We're going to take 20% off right off the top if you go to automattic.com/twit. Yes, you see there's a Pebble application and an Apple Watch application. It works with Android or iPhone via Bluetooth. Real-time performance data. It works with, if you, for instance, need to know want to do business miles, it can do that automatically with FreshBooks and Expensify and Concur. No monthly fees, no subscription. This is it. You just buy an Automattic. They promise never to sell your data, and you're good to go. And I mean go. Automattic.com/twit, 20% off if you use the offer code TWIT. And as if that weren't enough, it makes a lovely travel mug, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
I threw away when I bought my Automattic. I threw the container away. Little did I know, it's actually a fabulous little
Good for iced tea.
You put the lid on it, and it's
fits in cup holders. Some cups are too big to fit in cup holders.
Now, how much would you pay? Automattic.com, offer code TWIT to save 20%, which is a really, really good deal.
All right. So news this week. Lots of political news.
We're in it. The horse race is beginning tonight.
I have been following Bernie iOS Sanders on Twitter.
What? This isn't official.
No.
It's a parody account.
It's a parody. So it uses Bernie-like sayings and iOS things we need to know.
We need sensible parental control settings which prevent children from making in-app purchases unsupervised or seeing what they should not. That's perfect, Bernie.
Exactly.
Our emphasis must be on app resubmission, not continual rejection met with longer app review times. See the data. Or dater.
So it's just a fun, if you're getting annoyed by, you know, the regular political speech and you just feel more comfortable as we do with iOS language.
Parody.
Yes. All right. So I got
feel
some
the
products
burn.
To talk about, too.
Yes.
Okay. So first, let's talk about some news. On Friday, Bloomberg had a scoop that Apple is closer than we think to wireless charging. Did you read that story?
Welcome to the party, Apple.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing, right? Like, there's a lot of people have these wireless charging bases that you can set.
I've been using wireless chargers for ages.
Right.
The Lumias do it from Nokia. Many of my Samsung phones do it. In fact, almost all the phones, the BlackBerry Priv. BlackBerry does it.
You're talking about charging pads, correct? Like,
yeah,
you just set it
so
down.
It's built into the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You put the phone on a charging pad. Mm-hmm. You have to buy that extra. And it wirelessly charges. It charges slower. Mm-hmm. Some people say, well, there's a waste of energy. There is some heating up. But it's just great. And I have a lift charging easel, which makes it very easy. It's right by my bed. I just put the phone in the easel. You don't have to plug it in. You don't have to worry about the plug, which way it's going, or anything like that. You just put it down. It charges overnight, plenty of time.
Like our Apple Watches.
Yeah, it's very much like that. This is actually using wireless charging.
So what if there were no pad?
Well, how would it wirelessly charge if there were no pad?
That's the question, and that's what Apple is developing.
No,
just
they're
through
not.
Through the air. Through
no,
the air.
Not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. I'm sorry, they're not.
The rumor is
yes, there's a very bogus Kickstarter campaign to do this. They
this
use
is Bloomberg.
Sound. Well, Bloomberg isn't a technological genius always.
So, but I'm not saying it's here now, but I'm saying
it's never going to be here.
Really? We're never going to wirelessly charge.
Think about
it. We're never going to walk around
you
and
have
radiation.
You have to send energy
into our
skin. You could send microwave, but that might coddle your brain. Okay, let's not do that.
But
so one of the things that's going on is Kickstarter. There's a company that claims, and there's a lot of skepticism about this, that they can use ultrasonic sounds. You can't hear them, but they can. You know what you would have to do, right, is excite something in the phone so that it would generate energy. And of course, sound could do it, but can it do it from more than an inch away? I don't know. It gets hard as you get farther and farther away. Most of the people that I trust who understand physics say this isn't going to happen.
So they're just making this up?
I'm not saying they're not researching it, but good luck trying to get it.
Mm, okay.
Well, I'm a skeptic. You know, maybe Apple will prove me wrong.
Efficiency of power transfer decreases.
They're also working on faster-than-light transportation to get us to other galaxies.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, well, so now we're stuck with the pad, I guess. That's
yes,
what we
you're
going to
be
today.
Stuck with the pad.
So this
I'm sorry.
Is, that's, well,
but
okay.
Now the way this works, which makes perfect sense, is induction. So it's the way we make electricity is you spin a coil and generate electricity by magnets on the outside of the copper wire, and the induction creates power. This works very similarly by creating an induction field in the base of it.
So this is a special case.
And you need a special case, and that's because, for a couple of reasons. One, Apple hasn't built it in, but two, Apple makes its cases out of metal.
Right.
You can't really do inductive charging through metal. It needs to be through glass or plastic. So and this doesn't work this far away. It doesn't work this far away. It has to be ever, because the power dissipates very rapidly. But notice when I place it on there, it say it's charging.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, and by the way, this is a unique one because it has a battery in the base, which is kind of cool. I'm not sure what the market is for that. But so the idea is if you place it properly, you put it in the inductive field properly, inside the case, there is something that will be excited by the magnetic field. Your toothbrush does this. A lot of electric toothbrushes charge this way wirelessly. It's a great way to charge. It's well known. It's inefficient. But, it's efficient. So what is this? This is cool.
This is the prelude.
You know what I like about this is that the case itself, most of the, there's PowerMat and Qi are the competitors in this field.
This is Qi.
And this is Qi, which is one I prefer. Most of the cases that make it possible for non-wireless phones to charge are bulky as heck. This is not, actually, I'm taking off the wrong way because we have a lightning connector in the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should take it off. I don't want to break Glenn's phone here. Mm-hmm. Does it just pop off?
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's connected, the lightning connector is in
there. It's very thin, so it's not much more than that. There you go.
Yeah, you take the lightning connector.
Now I got it on.
Yeah.
Okay, you got it on.
So, yeah, I
really like this. It's light. It doesn't occupy a lot of space. It's really not much bigger.
I don't want to break Glenn's phone.
Exactly,
either.
Right? It's not much bigger than a traditional iPhone case. It's easier when you're not on camera because then you can really go, and then it comes right out. And then nobody's the wiser. In fact, I'm really impressed that they were able to do this with such a small space. Although, I shouldn't be because I added wireless charging to a Samsung phone with a $5. It was just a thin piece of plastic that went, because Samsung's phones, if they don't have the wireless charger, at least have the connection. So you take the back off, you put it this little $10 thing there, and it added wireless charging. So the inductance device isn't very big.
So this is the Prelude portable wireless charger. So you charge the charger. It's
$79.99. All right.
$79.99.
I'm very intrigued. I love wireless charging. It's so much easier when you get in bed. The problem with this is not the ideal kind of wireless charging because the base is, you know, you have to, and you experience this, right? You mm-hmm. have to position
you have to,
it just
exactly
so
right
on the base, yeah.
And, yeah, it's not ideal because you're not walking around like you will in the future, Leo. Walk around and line of sight
okay,
charging.
If I'm wrong, if you are a PhD in physics, if you work at Caltech, send us an email. Explain to me how you're going to charge across the room without frying people's brains.
I'm not talking about not line of sight. I'm line of sight. We're still agreed there, but, yeah.
No, it wouldn't have to be line of sight. Mm. If it's line of sight, then you're in trouble. Because that means you're aiming a power beam through the room. You don't want to walk through that. But if it's ultrasonic, it could be the whole room fills with this sound. You can't hear it.
What if we walk around with suits that protect us from whatever stuff is?
Okay, then we could do it.
All right. Okay. Okay, let's continue this lovely conversation about charging. Thank you to John Phillips, who sent me the idea to charge your Apple Pencil.
Oh, sure.
I was looking for an Apple Pencil charger.
No, it comes with one in the box.
This is what comes in the box. This.
It's an adapter that makes you lose any lightning charger.
You wouldn't be able to see it. You wouldn't know that it was there.
You know, I didn't know it was there. I almost threw my box away, and somebody said, well, you took the extra nib and the lightning adapter out, right? I said,
yes.
What?
Yeah.
So
no, you had,
when you get a pencil.
So because he said, you know, you have this Belkin charger. You used to use it on i5 for the iPhone. We watched you use it. You have a stand.
Right.
And I said, but no, it's the wrong kind of connector.
You need the adapter.
And he said, yeah, you need the adapter.
And of course, Apple bundles that so you can also use your iPhone charging cable.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work with it. Anything with a lightning.
But this is so much nicer than setting it on the outside, you know, the way it's supposed to charge. This is way nicer. Don't you think, than this,
just
which I find
I guess.
Weird.
It is weird to have it sticking out, but the thing is, it's
like
not there very long, right?
Yeah, it's not, but still.
Turn on Bluetooth. That's how you pair it.
Mm-hmm, that's how you do it.
So cool.
If you have a charger, thank you, John, for that.
Actually, keep it in there. Your pencil's low.
I know, my pencil's low.
Got to put some more lead in your pencil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else do I have for you? Oh, this case. You know how I feel about cases. This is the Cydio Luma case.
Mm-hmm.
This
is what Lisa uses.
Oh, it is? The Cydio?
Because she doesn't want to hide the beautiful rose
gold.
It
is beautiful. But this also has an LED so that if...
She doesn't have this.
What
are you doing?
It is a light. When I get notifications, this light goes off. So if you texted me or if someone sent me an email, I would get a notification. So if you are hard of hearing, this is...
What a good idea. So or you don't want to have sound on.
Right. You just want light. It's a very bright flash. So I really like it.
You have to put your phone face down.
So
she just has a thin plastic case that lets you see the rose gold.
Yeah, now this lets you see, which is nice, but that also lets you see more than just the pink. It lets you see the notifications.
I have something very cool in my purse.
You do, in your man bag.
My man bag.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of lights, this was something that I think Annie Inako recommended on MacBreak Weekly. This is the Loom Cube. Here, I'll put it down here so you can see it. It's a metal cube. It's actually waterproof to 100 feet. The USB charging port is underneath this sealed screw. On the other side is an LED light. And stand back, hide your eyes, because this thing is really bright. There's a flash that it can do. And it also has a continuous light, which you could use for video or shooting. And what this is something you can carry. It's battery powered. You get a few hours on a battery charge. And if you just turn it on for a quick picture and turn it off, it has 10 levels of brightness, by the way. The brightest of which, well, as you can see,
it's very bright.
Is blinding. But what I love about this, let me use a kind of a less bright, and I'll show you here. If you carry this in your manned bag.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with camera phone photography is that in the dark, the flash is right next to the lens. It's true also of pocket cameras. And when you have on-camera flash, it's close to the lens. That's when you get red eye because they're looking at the lens and it's bouncing right into their iris. It's also flattening, right? In fact, I could show you that. When I shine a light right on my face, it flattens my face.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody looks like they're in the witness protection program. Well, look how much better a side light looks. And lighting guys know this. Well, you can now use your camera phone and get much better images just by doing this. Now, watch. Look at me. And I'm going to take a picture without the light. Of you, yeah. And then I'm going to use the light. And what's nice is you can move it around to kind of say, let's get some modeling. Let's get some, because you don't want to have a flat white light. Mm-hmm. It's much better not to. And now I'll show you the two images. And you can see it really improves the image. This is the flat image. And this, with just a little light, your one side's in shade, it makes such a difference.
I need more of a difference, I think.
Well, that's an interesting point too that Andy made because there. I was too close. If you go to any lighting store, anyone that sells gels, for instance, you can get a sampler. They have little tiny squares of the gel, so you can see the different colors. Well, it turns out the samplers are just the right size for this.
Oh.
So you can go there, get a free sampler kit, and then just use a rubber band or whatever to make you. In fact, you would look better if I put the diffuser on, and then it's not so harsh of a light. There's all sorts of ways to use this. It's $70, LumeCube, and it's small enough that you can carry it just in your bag, in your camera bag. There it is. I just think this is so cool. Now, of course, you could have multiple Lume Cubes. You see there, they have a mount with a GoPro.
Oh, yeah.
It does have a standard threaded a hole in the bottom for a tripod. Really interesting. It's also, as Andy pointed out, look at that, 1,500 lumens. It's also, as Andy pointed out, a great emergency light. If you get stuck in a cave mm-hmm. and you happen to have your man bag with you, you just pull this out and you say, "Stick with me, everybody. I've got a Lume Cube." You can walk your way to safety.
Yeah. Good as a flashlight, just too, in any
look how
situation.
Bright that is. I mean, yeah, good as a flashlight.
And
welcome to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Here, let me see it. Let me see what the best angle. Oh, I blinded myself.
Okay, little word of warning. It is very, very bright. You see, you can really play with it. Make it farther out. Yeah, make it farther out because you don't want it to be too harsh. That's the problem with the camera phone. It's too harsh. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's fun.
Isn't that cool? The Lume Cube.
$70. Oh, did I blind you? Keep that actually just in case I need it for blinding purposes?
Not to be used by children or people with childlike minds.
Yes. This case that lights up only costs $29.99.
There you go. LEDs have revolutionized the world.
It's good to keep your sound off, and especially if you're working in a.
No, I think I like that. So that blinks and it notifies you.
Yep.
A lot of phones. This is something kind of missing from the iPhone because a lot of phones have lights that notify you,
mm-hmm.
like most phones.
Yeah.
But Apple never thought that was a good idea.
Right, and you have to turn on in the accessibility settings. You have to turn it on. So.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
To make the because it's using the flash, right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
All right, so let's talk about Gazelle. They're another sponsor.
It is. We're getting into the new season for phones. Mobile mm-hmm. World Congress coming up at the end of the month. Samsung has announced their Galaxy S7 mm-hmm. unveiling will be on February 21st. We will cover that live at 10 a.m. Pacific on that Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Switch over.
Well, you might. Apple might even announce. I think it's a pretty solid rumor that they're going to announce the 5SE in March.
In March. They never
so we're coming. The thing is, if you know new phones are coming, now's the time, today, to go to Gazelle.com. Because mm-hmm. you can get a quote guaranteed for 30 days. You lock them in for the quote for your old device. And even if the value of that device goes down because there's a new one, your quote is guaranteed for 30 days. Now's the time to get a quote. If you're thinking about upgrading, in fact, while you're there, look at all the devices you have. They will buy back cell phones, tablets, Microsoft Surface, Samsung, Apple. They'll buy back computers. They buy a lot of things. They'll give you a great quote. And then, if you decide to go ahead with it, they will pay for the shipping. Anything worth more than a buck, they send you a box. You pile it into the box. You wouldn't throw $100 bills in a drawer just saying, I'm not going to use that anymore. You don't do that with your old gadgets. Recycle them at gazelle.com. Get that 30-day quote right now and get cash for your old gadgets. Now, that's the trade-in. Now, what about buying? Because Gazelle now also will sell you the best high-quality devices they get as a replacement for a broken or a missing device. They sell iPhones from the 4S through the 6 Plus. They sell iPads, the Standard, the Air, the Mini models. If you want Android, they do have Samsung Galaxy phones as well. They have a variety of conditions, too. And you get to choose, you know, the lower the price, of course. You just lower the condition a little bit. But in every case, they're fully functional. They go through Gazelle's rigorous 30-point inspection. Even things like scratches on the glass. Gazelle makes sure that it's a great device you'll be happy to have. And of course, you have a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk at all. Devices are available for all the major carriers, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, Sprint. But never, never do you extend your contract. There's no. So that's a great way to buy a phone at a great price. Now, because the new iPhone and iPad came out, we're seeing a lot of devices brought to Gazelle. That's always a good time to buy used at Gazelle because the newest devices will come in and you can get a great deal on a new device, new to you, a pre-owned device from Gazelle. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Sell your gadgets and buy them, too, the fast and simple way at gazelle.com.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, you know, that case was for the iPhone 6, and we searched the whole office.
Everybody's got big phones here now.
Yeah.
We're all 6 plus.
Mm-hmm, except Glenn, who was gracious enough to lend us his
phone. Thank you, Glenn.
All right, Gerald Fix on Twitter asks, any idea when Apple Pay will come to Canada?
It did.
All right.
Done.
Let's move on.
It's only American Express right now, I think. But, in fact, that was only a few weeks ago, so he must have sent this a while ago.
Might have.
Apple Pay is now in Canada with a very limited subset of cards. But, you know, once it rolls out, mm-hmm. once merchants start taking it, the cards come along. The same thing happened in the U.S. So a limited set of banks would support it. Now almost everybody does. I still have trouble with, like, one of our business cards. I still can't get Apple Pay to work with. But it's going to be the same situation in Canada. In fact, it'll be a much faster, I think. The last I checked with Rene Ritchie, who's in Montreal, mm-hmm. he said his American Express was the only card that worked. But it does work, and he's been buying a lot of coffee just like that. Boom.
Buying more bands with
buying
his watch.
With his watch. Yes, he loves those bands.
All right. Evan in Manhattan writes, many users, myself included, tell LastPass not to require two-factor authentication, TFA, on their iPhones, Android, or personal primary day-to-day password-protected home computers as to which LastPass keeps a profile and record, presumably using MAC address, browser, and system configuration, or another unique identifier. So many people hardly ever see the TFA request because 90% of their LastPass usage is on their home computer or their password-protected smartphone. Accordingly, if such user ever does receive a TFA request from LastPass, his or on his or her iPhone or primary home computer, such TFA request in and of itself is evidence that he or she is being phished or otherwise is a potential victim of the man-in-the-middle attack because LastPass is seeing the MAC address and other system configuration. So this was in reference to LastPass.
Can you tell Evan is a lawyer? Evan Katz. He's great. I love Evan. He's a great correspondent. He makes an interesting point. Let me kind of tell it in human terms.
Okay.
So we love LastPass. Password wallet, we recommend it highly. Actually, any password wallet is better than no password wallet because it encourages you to create unique, hard-to-guess passwords for every site. The problem with that, of course, they're hard to remember as well as hard to guess. Password wallet will do the memorizing for you. You only have to remember one password. That's the password wallet unlock password. LastPass does it. There's a lot of others. 1Password we like. Dashlane is another good one. There's a lot of choices. But let's talk about LastPass. Recently there was I don't even think it was a security exploit, but a security researcher pointed out that it would be possible to phish someone. But, you know, this is true in general of everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you created a specially crafted email that looked like it was from LastPass, you, or anybody, or your bank or whatever, you could trick people. The idea of this phishing scam was a guy could steal or borrow the LastPass aesthetic components and craft a page that looked exactly like LastPass asking you for its password. And you wouldn't know that, in fact, it wasn't LastPass. You'd say, oh, because you're used to it. Oh, yeah, it needs my password. You'd give it the password. Instead of going to LastPass, it would go to the bad guy, and you've been phished. Your LastPass password up. So one of the fixes people propose is, well, turn on two-factor authentication. In fact, even Steve Gibson said this. This is true in general on every service you use. If they offer multi-factor, take advantage of it. It's always safer, including with LastPass. But Steve pointed out that with even the two-factor can be phished because you can spoof that as well, as long as, you know, you have to have some knowledge about what's going on with, you know, you have to be there to make the second thing. And then, by the way, this two-second factor code is only good for 30 seconds. So it would be much, much more difficult with two-factor. What Evan is pointing out, and he's right, is that in most cases you don't ask for the second. LastPass won't ask for the second factor if you click that box that says "Remember this browser." Mm-hmm. Most of us do that. So you log in to something to turn on LastPass in Safari on your iPad, and it says, "Okay, give me the password." You give it the password. In this case, it's safe because you know. You invoked LastPass, so it's highly unlikely it's phishing. And then it says, okay, well, what's your second factor? You go to your iPhone, you look at your authenticator program, you get the second factor, you type it in. But there's a checkbox below it that says, you want me to remember this device? You don't want to do this every time. And most people, including myself, say yes. The good news, Evan, so he's pointing out, well, that means you could be spoofed anyway, right? By the way, Evan, as far as I know, it does that with a cookie. I'm not sure, but it's not as complicated as having to keep track of your MAC address. It just sets a cookie. That's what cookies are for. The solution to this is that, in fact, LastPass, and the reason why you could still be spoofed is LastPass doesn't just stop asking you. In most cases, 30 days go by, it asks you again.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, this is why we're vulnerable a little bit to spoofing, because if you've used LastPass for any length of time, you're kind of used to it asking again sometime down the road. You know, who knows? Is it 30 days? I don't know. It's time for me to re-authenticate. So maybe that spoof would still work. So it's something absolutely to pay attention to. Nevertheless, even though it's still possible, because second factor requires a much higher level of involvement by the bad guy, he's got to be a man-in-the-middle attack. He's got to be watching your traffic. He's got to be able to intercept your traffic. And then he has 30 seconds to use that second factor to log in. It's pretty unlikely. You're still much, much safer with two-factor on everything. Turn on everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of an inconvenience. It's a lot more security.
All right, well, we have another comment from Daniel. We asked a few weeks ago for recommendations. Someone wrote in looking for websites to teach kids to learn to type who were sight impaired blind students. So Daniel writes that he is blind, and he was taught in a plain word processing, using plain word processor, using lessons that my instructor came up with herself. Here are a few that I know of. Talking Typing Tutor. That's from Typeability, or Typeability is a different one. It works exclusively with JAWS for Windows.
A lot of blind people have that. It's a screen reader.
Mm-hmm. And that's at freedomscientific.com. Keystroke is a cross-platform from New Mexico. It's from the New Mexico Commission for the Blind.
Oh, nice.
You can develop your own lessons with this program. And this subject was discussed in a recent edition of Main Menu, which is a blindness-related tech show podcast on ACB Radio. That's acbradio.org. It was on the January 22nd, 2016 show and can be found at mainmenu.abcradio.org. And it was discussed around the 8-minute mark of the show. So.
And I'm glad that there are shows like that. You know, we talked offline this week about whether we should do a show on accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the reason I don't like to do that is because we're not blind.
Right.
And so we don't really use accessibility. We're not experts in it. And I think it's best left to people who really know this topic. Mm-hmm. And the good news is there are plenty of podcasts out there. There's plenty of resources out there.
Right.
And they're much better equipped to talk about what's out there, how to use it. We're only kind of guessing. It's like asking us to do a music program. We're not musicians.
Right.
And so even though we play them on TV, it's probably best to leave this to the experts. But I did come up, thanks to AutoCorrect, with a new term for accessibility. This was called, or sometimes adaptive computing, where a computer will help people with various disabilities use that computer. They call it accessibility. I decided we should call it accessibility from now on.
Yes. We don't have that.
We don't have accessibility.
Daniel also recommended an app called Zcast. Have you heard of Zcast? It is like Periscope, but just audio. So you can here it is.
So you do live audio streaming.
Mm-hmm. I'm casting.
Who would want to do that?
I know. Who would really want to do that? Because crazy things could happen, right?
Live. That's insane.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah. And
so it just
works like
audio.
Periscope.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
And does it tweet out that you're doing it? Oh, thank you. Hello, everybody. This is Leo Laporte. Oh, what's going on? It sounds like a conference call. I'm getting bad, cheesy music. Hey. Oh, are you joining one or are you starting one?
Maybe I'm joining one. No, I don't know. Maybe it's adding music. Let's see what happens.
Zcast.
Yes. Are you sure you went in this cast? Yes, very sure.
Oh. Okay.
I think we just casted. Like Periscope.
Lucky thing I don't follow you on Twitter. Nice.
Yeah, I guess maybe it did just tweet it out. Well, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know in a second.
You know,
Zcast.
You remember like it was about a year ago that there was this Meerkat versus Periscope, mm-hmm. and there were these two competing things, and we had an employee who would go around Meerkatting all the time, mm-hmm. and he got a job with Meerkat, amazingly enough. Is this still a thing? Do people still like this? Do they still use it? I know we can get Periscope now on our Apple TV.
Yeah, and Periscope just made a deal with GoPro.
You can Periscope from GoPro.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So, yeah, I think Periscope is still a deal. Well, now Facebook, you can live stream directly from Facebook, too. So
I did that. I showed, it was like a couple of weeks ago, because it was Facebook Mentions, and they had added it to Android. So I tried it up. I gave a little tour of my cabinet in my office with all the antiques in there.
Limited use.
Got a lot of views. Facebook's very powerful. More views than this show gets.
It is. I like off the cuff sometimes. I mean, obviously. We're kind of Periscoping.
Wait a minute. No, will you prepare this?
I prepare this show
heavily. I'm the one who just makes stuff up.
Mm-hmm. So you're always Periscoping, but.
I could.
I pretend that I am. So.
I like Facebook Mentions because, you know, you get a lot of views from that.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you. At first, you had to be a verified page or verified person. Now it's open to anybody.
Right.
So you can upgrade your Facebook app and start doing live streaming video right to your Facebook page mm-hmm. so people can join and watch you in real time. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. I find it interesting sometimes when journalists are somewhere and you know, they're just like, oh, here's what I just saw. You know,
I wish I'd remember this more. You know, mm-hmm. I have this capability and I just forget that if you've got a smartphone in your pocket, you can broadcast from anywhere.
You can.
Who needs a studio?
All right, so Penny from Tucson, she writes in about Churchill Software. That was your app, Cap, from last week.
Love
she said, I saw this app discussed during iOS Today and Mac Break Weekly. I love Solitaire, and this sounded interesting to download. So I downloaded, love the concept, but found the app to be very buggy.
Huh.
I could not move to start piles, and sometimes other cards would not stack properly. I thought it was me, and then I went back and read reviews. I'm not alone. But you didn't have any problem at all. You're playing right now.
Yeah, and... there were updates. There have been several updates, I think. There's at least one update to the game that came out. I noticed some wonkiness, nothing that was really stopping me, but I know sometimes, for instance, I like to move the aces around so that I have the aces matching, you know, and I have the black ones on top mm-hmm. of the run. Just little things like that. And I can do it sometimes, and then sometimes I couldn't. But I do think they've fixed many of those problems, so... The good news is you can download it for free. You get 200 deals. That should be enough for you to kind of play with it and see if it gets better. I believe it is getting better. I really like this. But what I'm really curious about is, do you like the game? Because this is a new version of Solitaire. I'd never had you seen it before. Apparently, Winston Churchill invented it or used it and never told anybody. And it was so it's just come down to us. And by the way, after we picked it as our pick of the week... I saw Donald Rumsfeld, the creator of the game and the former Secretary of Defense, on The Fallon Show, on CNN. He was everywhere. They must have a billion downloads
yeah.
by now.
So what you're telling Penny is never give up, never give up, never give up?
I'm telling her there are things we don't know and then things we don't know we don't know. Okay. And what we don't know is if it's going to be fixed. But I think that given the attention it's been getting, it will be fixed and fixed promptly. This is it's a fun game. I really, and you know, it's really nice on an iPad Pro. Look at all that space you get. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. So, okay, I have one more question from Steve C. No one else was able to answer this. He said, about a week ago on one of the Twitch shows, they mentioned an app that you can complain to about problems with a company and they will go to bat for you. I can't remember what the name of the app is or which show I saw it on. And it was not, he said it was he was either Tech News Today or The Screensavers. It was not.
You host one, I host the other, and I don't remember either.
I was gone a few days, and I didn't. So you don't know either. And I asked all the Screensavers.
It's an
producers,
app that you can use
to complain when a company in the they will go to bat for you for the company. So if you say
it
like,
might have been on the new Screensavers because we have you know those little you've done a few of them those little hints
mm-hmm.
and maybe I missed it.
Oh, the producer.
So ring any bell, anybody?
Anyone in the chat room? Anyone?
Chat room. Mm. Bueller.
Well,
Bueller.
Do you know of an app that will go to bat for you like that?
No.
Like Better Business Bureau type app that
sounds vaguely familiar. Mm. There is a wonderful app called Paper Karma.
Oh,
if you get
yeah.
a lot of junk mail, you mm-hmm. take a picture of the mailing label on the catalog, and Paper Karma will get up canceling it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
You know what else you could do? This guy, did you see this on Comcast?
It's called Complaint App.
Complaint App.
And Life Hacker had an article about it. Thank you, Slow Mo, in the chat room.
Complaint App.
Complaint App? Let's take a look. Let's
okay.
see if we can find it, because, you know, the problem with this is that it's a lot of work. You know,
yeah.
every local TV station has their consumer reporter
mm-hmm.
who will go to bat for you. But that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that there's a business model for an app.
Yeah, that's somebody's job.
yeah, that does that.
You know what you could do yourself, though?
What?
You could use a Raspberry Pi to make a bot. Did you see that?
No.
There was a guy
I have
guy
two
on
Raspberry
Twitter,
Pis ready and willing to do something. Let's
who
see.
Who is complaining about his internet speed from Comcast, and he created a bot that will automatically tweet to Comcast when the speeds are generated. So I don't know if you can see this. It's
that's a guarantee
like,
to get you blocked.
Hey, Comcast user. Hey, Comcast, why is my internet speed 31 down, 9 up when I pay for 150 down and 10
wow.
up in Washington, D.C.? So that
that's incredibly annoying. And probably not effective because...
You don't think
no.
so? Auto-tweeting? It's funny,
auto-tweeting.
Though.
Auto-tweeting. It's very funny. And not probably a very hard thing to do.
With a Raspberry Pi?
Well, the thing about the Raspberry Pi, that you know, it's a computer. It's just a $35. It's a very cheap computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Linux-based computer. It has memory, a CPU. It's got an interface. And so you can do anything with it. It's kind of a slow computer, but something like that, that's straightforward. You can easily mm-hmm. do that. So it's like if you could buy a $35 computer that would do nothing but check your bandwidth and tweet about it, the Raspberry Pi is perfect for that. Now, I did buy on Kickstarter. We had them on the new Screensavers. There's a $6 computer coming. That'd be really useful.
Interesting.
Yeah. What if I were going to do that, what would I have it tweet about?
That's a good question. You could...
I have some kind of... I don't know.
You could just tweet out ideas for the show randomly.
Maybe you could have like a... Yeah, that's a good idea. Board Leo Laporte. That'd be fun.
A bot. Yeah.
I do have a bot. I have a Telegram bot. And actually, it's really good. If you use Telegram, the messaging mm-hmm. app, at Chief Twitbot, and it says when a show's about to begin. It says when a show, the audio for a show's been pushed out. If I post something to Instagram, it posts it there. It's kind of like a little alert reminder that will message you anytime something important is happening in my life.
That's interesting. I think you should definitely like have a tweet bot that just does just random, like slightly almost offensive things.
I could
tweets.
Be like the Bernie iOS Bernie.
Yeah.
That like says things that sound like I would say, but mm-hmm. really make no sense.
Right, exactly.
And I bet you people would follow it and think it's a great...
Yeah. But there's a lot of things you say that don't make sense.
That's
though.
What I'm saying.
That would be very confusing.
It would be hard to understand
yeah.
what it means.
All right, should we see who's at our front door?
Is it ring time?
I think it's ring time.
Let me ring my chimes. Watch this. This is so cool. This is my Ring video doorbell. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know what? We can. I can see who's at my front door. You have a Ring, too?
I do have a Ring. And so, I get Apple Watch. Do you get Apple Watch alerts every time there's motion?
I turned that off because a lot of people are at my front door, apparently. So somebody rang the doorbell at 11:30 today. Let's see who. This is, it's probably just a package. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's the UPS lady. She left a package. So now I could have pressed accept at the time and said, "Hey, lady, could you put it around back?" But this is an awesome. Oh, somebody got it. Look at that. So if somebody steals your packages, you can steal that. See that too.
Stealing your package.
And you go, "Hey, lady, put that back. I'm watching." The thing is, this is so awesome. It's so easy to install. It connects to your Wi-Fi. And all of a sudden, no matter where you are, when somebody rings your doorbell, you can answer it. Mm-hmm. You can also see it has a motion detector. So I'll go back and I can see motion at my front door. So somebody was at my front door just a few minutes ago. And if it makes me nervous, I can see, oh, yeah, that's Sarah. She's just helping us out. She's doing something. I don't know. But she's going shopping or whatever. But see, that's cool. Isn't that?
Yeah, I love it. It is good for what I will say for my kids. It's great for my kids because I know when they're coming home from school and being dropped off. So, you know, at this point.
Well, you know,
is,
we had a cleaning service that would come and they would leave after. We paid them for 4 hours. They'd leave after two. We called them up and said, "They're leaving after two." And the guy said, "No, they're not." I said, "Oh, contrary, my friend, I have video evidence." And that was that on that.
Yeah.
There's so many uses for this. Very easy to install. If you have a wired doorbell, it's trivially simple. They even give you everything you need. Here's the screwdriver, the special Torx bit that you use to attach this. I'll talk about that in a minute. A level. Here's a USB charging cable. I'll talk about that, too. And here's the Ring video doorbell. So we unscrewed the old doorbell. Two wires come out. You put those through there, attach them to the terminal. Then you hook the Ring video doorbell on here. You do it with that proprietary Torx screw on the bottom. There's two of them. And that's to make it hard for somebody just to come along and unscrew your doorbell. Of course, if they did, you'd have video of that. So I think it's probably a fool's errand. Now, what's nice about this is if it's wired, it's still going to ring the doorbell in your house. But when you pair it to the internet, to your Wi-Fi, you also get HD video, you get a speaker, you get a microphone. I never miss. One of the reasons I wanted to get this is because I couldn't hear the doorbell ring. You know, isn't it the case that the chimes on doorbells, they seem like they get weaker and you can't hear them? Or maybe my hearing has just gotten weaker. So this solves that problem because my iPad rings, my iPhone rings, my Android phone rings, my Apple Watch rings. There's no way I miss somebody at the door. I love it. And it's great for security, too. Very easy to install. What I like, and the reason there's a charging cable. Look, see? There's some weirdo saying, "Hey, you want me to clean your windows?" And you press the button and say, "Go away. I'm inside. I'm calling the police right now." He doesn't seem to be saying that. He's smiling and happy. But see, bad guys, what they do is they ring the doorbell for. This is clearly a bad guy. They ring the doorbell first, see if you're home. And then when you don't answer, they go around back and they smash and grab. About 95% of all home robberies occur in the daytime in exactly that way. But now you say, "Yeah, I'm inside. What can I do for you?" He says, "Oh, wrong number. Bye-bye. See you later. I'm going to go walk down to the next guy." Ring video doorbell. Get free expedited FedEx shipping right now when you go to ring.com/iOS today. You see, it comes in many colors. It could fit the decor of your house. And I mentioned the USB charging cable. That's because you don't have to have a wired doorbell. You can make this work anywhere. Charge up the lithium-ion battery inside. It's good for an entire year. Ring.com/iOS today. I wanted to look. There's a Twitter. Somebody tweeted me. One of our viewers bought it because of us. And he got video of a bad guy and got the guy arrested. In fact, there's a whole page at the Ring website of that.
There's another one of our viewers emailed me. He got it for his parents, his elderly parents, and he had a lot of stories about, because they need to answer the door for home health workers that are coming in, but they don't. They also have a lot of people canvassing the neighborhood selling things, so they want to. It's not like you can just say, like, "Don't ever answer the door," but it was such an advantage to him to know it was.
These are actual. See, this is the hashtag always home. These are actual videos from Ring of bad guys that got caught.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. Talk about a brilliant invention. Ring.com/iOS today. And we thank them so much for their support.
All right. Now is the time where we wear funny hats.
Oh, my gosh. Funny hat time, my favorite time
and
of the day.
Talk about our apps.
All aboard. Hey, Captain.
Oh, I like it when you call me that. All right. So have you heard of Airtable?
No. Okay. I've heard of OpenTable.
Airtable is a newish app. It is like Sheets or Excel, but fun. It's a product management app.
Oh.
And it's for your iPhone.
It's like a spreadsheet?
Yes. Organize anything you can imagine.
Oh, interesting.
So.
Oh, I'm going to get this. It's a database.
It is a database.
But don't tell anybody that because they'll go, oh, I don't want a database.
No, it's fun. It's project management that's fun.
Or you could manage your inventories and stuff, right?
You can manage anything. So here, like, you could go on a balloon adventure and you have everything that you have.
Oh, all the info.
Places that, you know, I'm
but it's structured.
Right.
Oh, that's neat.
So here,
oh, what, I'm getting links. This right now. What is this Airtable?
Airtable. It's free for a certain amount of links and a certain amount of space, and then it goes, then it's got a subscription fee up there.
There was a thing called FileMaker, and they had an iOS app called Bento Box that was kind of similar. It was awesome. And they seem to just have kind of given up on it. So this is a much needed. I think because people maybe don't understand when you use the word database, you know, oh, that sounds very complicated. But it's awesome.
It is, yeah. So, these are just the example bases. You can export things from an Excel or from Google Sheets into Airtable.
Nice.
And maybe we can watch some video tutorials so you can see a little bit.
Yeah, it's smart. They need to do stuff like that because people get so intimidated by this idea.
Can you hear my video? You want to plan a balloon adventure?
Okay.
I do. Tap to begin. So we can create a new database.
Balloon adventure.
And then there's a lot of emojis in here. You create the places you go.
Oh, this is good because and then can you share this?
You can share it. You mean share the videos or share? Yeah, you can share.
Because I want to. For instance, we got a trip coming.
Did you share the email? I shared this one with you.
Oh, nice.
Topics for iOS today. I think you're the base collaborator. So we can use this for our show. It's just a really new and fresh way to, because I am sick of Excel and I'm sick of Google Sheets and this.
And Evernote. I've used Evernote for this kind of thing, but it's not structured. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a blob, and it's nice to be able to kind of structure a little bit
and then
share it.
And you can have it on your iPhone as well, and it syncs across that, of course.
Love that.
And that's nice
because
it's really nice to have it wherever you are, but also the iPad Pro screen is really great for this kind of thing, too. So you can track gift ideas.
And is when you buy the in-app stuff, is it expensive?
No, it's a subscription. So let me see.
So only if you really love it.
If you use, so you get three 1,200 rows.
Oh, that's a ton.
And
per database.
And then 12 months.
Oh, the free rows. Is probably enough for anybody.
Yeah. Unless you're an enterprise. There's also an enterprise.
And then $12 per user per month for businesses. It's a business cost.
Attach
got
it. A lot. And then $24 a month is pro.
Public forms. Yeah. So really, it's free for the home user, I think.
Yes.
That's great.
Airtable.
Can't wait to get it.
So you could put your pet medical history in here. You could plan a wedding, sneaker collection.
A lot of people use spreadsheets for things like that. And really, a database is a much better
It's a database. You're right. Yeah. I keep comparing it to sheets.
Well, a spreadsheet is kind of a database in a way, but it's more about calculation.
Yeah. I've never, database programs I never learned because then, you know, I thought I would have to be a secretary if I learned how to use them.
That's the bad word.
Right.
Yeah. I want to use databases.
But this is fun.
No, there's a reason why you want to use database. It makes sense. And they do have some great templates.
Yes.
Look at that.
Excellent templates. So.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I'm going to be working on my nonprofit gala while you talk about your...
While you were learning Snapchat from your kids, I was learning Minecraft from mine. We had a little project. I had a Raspberry Pi. I wanted to set up a Minecraft server. Michael, our 13-year-old's been playing it for 6 years. He loves Minecraft. He's like the king of Minecraft. And I thought, he's been asking me to set up a server. You can rent servers. You can use other people's servers. But it's nice to have your own place. What I realized is Minecraft for these kids is their clubhouse. So his friends come in. And nowadays, our kids, they're not free range anymore. We don't dare let them outdoors. So they stay home, but they're still playing with each other. Much the same way when I had friends, they would come over, we'd play Lego. It's very similar, except it's, amazing because there's so much to it. So I'm going to suggest it's a $6 app. It's not a free app. But if you're a parent of a child who loves Minecraft, do not poo-poo it. I poo-pooed it for years. I said, oh, that's ugly. It's blocky. There's so much better stuff out there. Minecraft can be played like a shoot-em-up game, but it's not really. It's not violent. It's about creation, building things, exploring, discovery. And the best part about it is you can do it with other people, including your friends. Now, there is a Minecraft for iOS. And for a long time, it wasn't really all of Minecraft. They call it Minecraft PE, Personal Edition. It was very limited.
Is it Pocket Edition?
Oh, I'm sorry, Pocket Edition, yeah. But I have to tell you, Minecraft PE now is very much a full Minecraft. And so if you're an adult and you want to kind of get to know what your kids are into, don't be thrown off by the blockiness. The blockiness actually is an advantage because it's more like Lego. Things can interchange. You can build things easily because a block can go on any other block. In fact, it's easier than Lego. They don't even have to match up.
Well, what do you think about its ability to teach kids how to code?
Well, that's one thing that's going on. Microsoft, which bought this company from Mojang, the developer Notch, who I now say is a genius. This may be the most compelling game I've ever seen. But it's at first for adults, it's like, you know, we went beyond 8-bit gaming 30 years ago. Why are my kids playing this game? Well, because you can build it with it very easily. I'm swimming right now, and I can jump up these blocks. The name Minecraft kind of tells you a little bit about what it is. You start in an environment. Now, there's survival mode and creative mode. I'm playing in survival mode. And that's kind of fun because night falls and creepers emerge. These are guys that will eat you and hit you and bash you. But it's not like a first-person combat game. Oh, there's a pig.
What's the deal with the pigs in Minecraft?
Well, everything is a resource. You could kill the pig and get some pork chops. Now, you can eat the pork chops raw, but really the best thing to do would be build a furnace and cook them. But to do that, you need to get coal. To do that, you need to mine, and on and on and on. What this has become for me, first of all, it's highly addictive. And it's a great way for me to communicate with Michael. In fact, our 13-year-old loves it that we've set up a server. It's nice. He doesn't mind that I'm in it. He's still young enough. And he's been helping me. And this is a really, for parents, a really neat thing. When you say to your kid, teach me how to do something, it's very empowering for the kid to know more than you do about something. So I said, Michael, what are these rubies here? He said, oh, yeah, you definitely want those, but you need an iron pick to get them. Well, how do I make an iron pick? Oh, well, let me show you. I built a farm because you want to harvest food and you can bake bread. And he said, well, you need to surround the farm because the sheep will eat your grain. I didn't know that. So you know what he did? He built me a fence. And there's a certain thing going on that is kind of cool. You're reaching out and you're meeting them at their level. Mm-hmm. So I know you have kids who play Minecraft, right? Pretty much there's no kid alive in the age group of maybe 10 to 13 that doesn't.
I think it starts younger than that. We talked about this on Tech News Today when Microsoft announced their new education Minecraft EDU program.
Yeah, Michael began when he was 7 or 8.
I got emails from people saying their kids started at 3.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with this. And this is something else I'd like to mention is that, look, they could be playing Call of Duty. There are violent games out there that teach them nothing but kill anything you see. This is a game that that really is creative. It's fun, much like Lego is fun. And I'm, you know, I think this is, the kids love it. And now I understand, having played this, there is a considerable amount of thought and genius. By the way, Minecraft has, there's a cow. Now, I could kill the cow and get some steak.
Mm-hmm. But only use meat as a condiment, Liam, remember?
Well, my current diet, it doesn't allow me to injure cows or bunnies or chickens. There's all of those in here. There's also zombies and bad guys. You got to have that if you've got a kid. They want zombies and bad guys. Oh, I got to jump up on the something. But the good news is this Minecraft PE is a great and easy way to play Minecraft. And a full Minecraft at that for just a few dollars compared to the $30 cost of Minecraft on the desktop. And it's kind of nice to have it. The interface works quite well. You see, I've inadvertently gathered some seeds. Mm-hmm. You have an inventory. You also have your character, which your kid will be glad to show you can be dressed in other skins, they call it. Mm-hmm. I can also put armor on here. I can craft things. Turns out with whatever that is, I can make some magenta dye.
Oh, flowers?
Yeah.
Sort of flowers.
Interesting. We were always puzzled because Michael would say things like, you know, the diamond is the hardest. And I said, well, how'd you learn that? He said, well, it's in Minecraft. Mm-hmm. He has learned some very interesting facts out of Minecraft. He's had a great time playing with his friends. And just as with Snapchat, you don't have to feel like it's an opaque world that you can't join in. In fact, I warn you, you know, I was playing Simpsons Tapped Out a lot. This is same idea where you kind of have a little place of your own. You got to build a house to protect yourself at night. Look at that. There's a beautiful house somebody built. I mean, this is really, really cool. Now, I know people are going to say, well, you had a Minecraft show. You had OMG Craft. You certainly had plenty of chances. We even had a Twit Minecraft server for a long time. Isn't that cool? You could, when you mine, you can actually build little mining carts. And mining is very important to the game because you need to get in there and get resources. Oh, look at that green stuff. That's something good. What is that, Anthony? Is that
diamonds?
Oh, yeah. Michael made one of those portals. You got to have redstone. Redstone allows you to do computational things as well. They're going to the netherworld through their portal. Oh, spooky. So it is not so highly directed as a game like Warcraft. It's actually very open-ended and a lot of fun to play. And I think it's a great cooperative game. And, of course, kids will do the, you know, let's go hunt stuff. And there's all kinds of games.
You can tell them they can only play in creative mode.
You could say creative mode. I think survival mode's good because it's kind of like life.
Yeah, we started with creative mode when the kids were little.
It's very easy because then you can't die and you can create lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. But survival mode isn't that hard. And the nice thing about survival mode merely means you need to figure out a way to survive the night.
Right.
It can rain. And, you know, the landscapes are beautiful. There's all kinds of what they call biomes. There's deserts. There's islands. There's villages where you can go find villagers. Those are creepers. Stay away from those. Don't be fooled by the swords. It's not a violent game. It's a lot of fun. Minecraft and the Pocket Edition. I have to say thank you, Microsoft and Mojang. The Pocket Edition now is pretty much a full Minecraft, right, Anthony? I mean, you can't join the full Minecraft servers. You have to join Pocket Edition servers, but which means you can play multiplayer online even with this. But even just for doing your own thing. And by the way, it will save your creations in between playing, so you never lose your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Minecraft PE. What is it? I think it's $5.99. It's very affordable.
$6.99.
I
feel like it's $7.
$8. I don't know. It's under 10.
Between $5 and $10.
Yeah. And I can't recommend more highly. I'm totally addicted to Minecraft. It's so much fun. And then the next step is build yourself a Minecraft server, invite the friends. It's this clubhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That brings us to the end of another iOS Today. Thank you for joining us. If you have comments or questions or app suggestions, you can email us. My email address is megan@twit.tv. That is the easiest way. We also have iOS Today at twit.tv.
You sound unsure of that.
I am a little unsure of that.
See what happens.
Just email me directly, and then, you know, I'm there. I'm sure
I think
of that.
iOS Today at twit.tv does work. I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Yeah. And, yeah, we record live every Monday at 1 p.m.-ish Pacific time.
1:30.
And, yeah, we love to hear from you. And thanks for watching.
We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Choo-choo!